is. And as we move towards the word, Paul was writing from prison, and he writes to his friends in Philippi, and he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we come to God's big enough for me to have a bit of a rant at him. And I think God sometimes sits there and he listens to me having a bit of a, Lord. And he sits there and he lets me do it. And then he rolls his eyes and goes, you got it out your system now? Come on. And he's so gentle and he's so loving. But actually, it's good sometimes for us to, if you look at David in the Psalms, David rents his heart. And he gets really honest with God. And he cries out to God and he goes, God, it's not right, it's not fair, it's not, I don't. Yet will I praise you. And actually, something good is going to happen. God is faithful. And we can hang on to that. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 28. On these weeks where I'm with you through these months where we're transitioning into a new season, I've been bringing a mini-series to you. You might not have realised, you might have forgotten about it, but I've called it God's Great Commission. God's Great Commission. Because when we think about what we're here for, it's good to get back to the Word of God and what Jesus said. And Jesus' call to his church was the Great Commission. And then he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses. And we go, Lord, we want your power. And he says, go and be my witnesses. And we say, God, we want your power. And he says, go and be my witnesses. And I think there's a challenge for us. What does it mean to be a church that adopts God's Great Commission? And we began, as we worked through Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Back in May, we remembered that we've been given a commissioned authority. We go in the power of God to do his mission. We don't go in our own strength, we go in his power. And we're equipped for a mission. In June, we looked at having commissioned purpose. You know, it's that Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility. Actually, we're called to a mission. We're here as followers of Jesus for a purpose. And this morning, what I want us to think about is that we have a commissioned identity in Christ. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him there, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Now, I always love that, isn't it? You've spent years with Jesus. You've seen him die. You've seen him rise again. You've met with him. You've ate with him. You've talked with the risen Jesus Christ, and still you doubt. Isn't Scripture great? It's hope for all of us. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this morning, I just want us very simply give us two things. From the idea that we're called to baptize believers. And God's great commission means we are called deeper. God's great commission means we are called deeper. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the message at the core of the Christian gospel. Do we believe that the gospel is the hope for our nation? When you look at the riots on the streets, when you look at on Monday, 200 people gathering at Burton train station from Princess Street, just put that in there, from Princess Street, gathering at the station, do we believe the gospel is a hope for our nation? Do we believe that the gospel still carries power? Do we still believe that God wants people to be saved? Yes. And the interesting thing I always come back to with this is we're called to make disciples, not converts. And I think, I've done a lot of reflecting over the last sort of 10 years of my walk with Jesus. And I might have asked you this question before. So if I have, you know the answer already. But the greatest revival this country has ever seen was the Wesleyan revival. The Holy Spirit moved in power across our nation, people being healed, transformed, thousands of people coming to faith, churches born across the nation. John Wesley, as he led that ministry, how many altar calls did he do in that lifetime of ministry? Thank you, John. None. Yeah, John knows because I told him that the other day. John Wesley used to say, this is the gospel message, and following Jesus is really difficult and it comes at a cost. So I'll be back here in the morning, and if you're serious, I'll be here waiting for you. The conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit convicted people's hearts that said, I don't just want to say, Jesus, save me. I want to make you Lord of my life, and actually I'm willing to pay the cost and go and do that. And somehow over the years, it feels like we've lost something of what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. And when we read in this passage, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, I often think baptism is a much healthier measure of the work of God than hands up at a meeting. Because baptism requires a decision to go deeper. It requires a decision to surrender. It requires a decision to say, God, I'm all in. And I love the fact that over the last 2 years, we've seen 22 people baptized in the last 2 years. Hallelujah! From both congregations, we've seen people being baptized. And on Sunday the 27th of October in the evening, we have our next baptismal service. And if you are here and you have made a decision to say, Jesus Christ, I'm all in, and you have not been baptized, then can I encourage you to get baptized on 27th of October in the evening? Because actually, it's a step of obedience that says, I'm going to be obedient to Jesus' call to go and make disciples, baptizing them. And actually, Jesus, I'm willing to do that. Do you remember your baptism? What was it like? How was it? Was it easy? Hang on. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. It's good, isn't it? You might have photos, you might have videos. Do you remember what it was like when you got baptized? You know, what did it mean to you when you got baptized? A lot. Change your life. Alive. How easy was it to get baptized? Yeah, you fought against it for years. I think my experience with many Christians is they fight against it for many years. You know, I'm aware of people in our congregations who've been following Jesus for years and have never been baptized. Okay? So there's an amnesty here. If you've been walking with Jesus for many years and haven't been baptized, we would love to baptize you. There is no shame in saying, God, I'm really sorry it's taken me a while to come to this, but actually I'm willing to do it. Because there's a point where we take the message of Jesus seriously. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And that picture was of the picture of a Roman procession where they were coming back from war, and at the end of the procession were the prisoners who were sentenced to be crucified carrying their crosses, and they were going to be executed. And Jesus takes a picture and says, live your life as if it's your last. Take up your cross and be willing to die to yourself. Yeah. And when you look at Peter on the day of Pentecost, what is the message he preaches? Repent and be baptized. Repent. Repentance is more than just saying sorry. It's about going all in. It's about total surrender. And so if you looked at a scale of 1 to 10 and you looked at your Christian life today, how surrendered are you on a scale of 1 to 10? How surrendered are you if God was to say to you, actually, I've got something for you. Are you willing to? And how many of us would go, yes? And how many of us would go, oh, Lord, I'm really not sure. Can we talk about it for a while? And how many of us would go, not on your life, God? Because I've got all these reasons, God, why you couldn't possibly use me. Getting baptized is at the heart of the Great Commission to die to ourselves and rise with him. Are you willing to do that? Because the Great Commission, God's Great Commission, means we're called deeper. Secondly, God's Great Commission means we are new creations. God's Great Commission means we are new creations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is so important about baptism? Denying yourself, yeah. Actually, if you look at it, it says go and make disciples, baptizing them. We baptize disciples. We baptize people who have made a decision to surrender and follow Jesus. And when people come to me and they start to talk to me about baptism, I'm looking for evidence of that surrendered life. I'm looking for the evidence that says I've actually made a decision to follow Jesus. And there is evidence. You know, Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. I remember in the first 6-9 months I was here, I said no to baptizing 7 people who came to ask me for baptism. Because there was no evidence that they were walking with Jesus. They came to me and said, I want to be baptized so I can be clean. And I said, now let's just talk about that for a minute, shall we? Actually, you get baptized because you're clean. So how's your relationship with Jesus going? Well, no, I want to get clean. No, you're missing the point. Jesus makes you clean and then you get baptized. You know, I want to get baptized, but I want to do it in secret. No, I'm not doing that. Because actually it's about dying to yourself. There is a cost here. And actually, there is something that there is a beautiful cost to baptism. It's a celebration of what God has already done. But also, I want us to understand, baptism is also not a qualification. Baptism is not about proving you have been good enough that God might accept you by you getting baptized. And actually, if you look in the Bible, you look at what happened is they gave their life to Jesus and were baptized pretty much straight away. You know, the jailer, when Paul and Silas are in jail, he sees the miracle working of God, he falls on his knees, he gets baptized that night. Actually, baptism is the beginning of the journey. It's not the conclusion. It's not saying, right, I'm good enough now, I've proven myself enough now. It's actually about saying my heart is in a place where it's surrendered to Jesus. And I love the fact that there's a symbolic picture with baptism, certainly the way we do it. We have a baptistry pool at the front of the church. And people come on one side and they walk into what is in effect a grave. It's a grave. It's not quite as deep as a grave, but it is a grave. And the picture is we're lowering people into a grave and lifting them back up again. There is a beautiful picture that the old me has died and I am now rising to a new life in Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not the same person. I am not the old me. You know, it might still need a little bit of work, but actually it's died with Jesus on the cross. And in his power, he can deal with all that stuff that's going on in my life. You know, and we leave the old behind. But let me ask a question. Have you really left the old behind? You know, when Lazarus came out of the grave, in the, I think it's your Fry's version, it says, Lord, don't take the stone away because he stinketh. And actually they take it away and they say, take the grave clothes off of him. But for many of us, we're still walking around with the old grave clothes on. The old me is still what controls me. The old me is still there. But actually baptism says, I'm willing to die to the old me and rise to a new life in Jesus. There's a picture crossing over. We come in on one side of a pool, we go out the other. And I'm told they used to use it for people who were converting their nationality. So people would go into a river, get baptized, come out the other side as a sign they were leaving one identity behind and becoming a new identity. And here it says you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're actually receiving a new identity. And the Greek word is baptizo. And among other things, the picture is of a sinking ship. And the Greeks would say, the ship has baptizoed. It has sunk because the water has got into the ship. So the water has got into the ship and the ship has baptizoed because the water has got into the inside. Whoa. The water's got on the inside. Living water, the Holy Spirit, that picture. Baptism is about nailing our colours to the mast and saying, I am 100% in Jesus. Come and fill me. And when we baptise people, we pray they'll be baptised in the Holy Spirit in their baptism. That living water would come in and baptizo them. Get in on the inside and allow Holy Spirit to do that work of transformation. And when you think back, compare your walk with Jesus today to the day you got baptized. Would you say your walk with Jesus is as close today as it was the day you got baptized? You know, as we get older, we can lose our sense of adventure. You know, and I can say that. I mean, last weekend, Lynette and I went and did a 12-mile walk up the Roaches and Lud's Church and spent the next 2 days going, ooh. And, you know, as we get older, we can lose that sense of adventure. You know, I remember one of the heroes I used to enjoy reading and listening to was somebody called Erwin McManus, who pastors a church in Hollywood. And he's got all sorts of stories, and he tells the story of his kid standing on the roof of his shed going, Dad, can I jump off? And Mum's going, no. And Dad's going, yes. Because there's a sense of adventure, son, I'll catch you. And he said, if I want my children to learn they can trust a heavenly father, they've got to be able to trust an earthly father. And actually, if I'm here and I'll catch them, they can learn that they can trust. And sometimes we lose that sense of adventure. 40 years ago, there was a tin hut in Burton. And some of you marched down the street and into a new building that you had stepped out in faith to purchase called Moore Street. Singing, celebrating, walking down the street, stepping out in faith. 23 years ago, some of you went on an adventure when you came here. And you relaunched a work here. And there was an adventure in you. There was a sense of excitement. There was a sense of passion. There was a sense of, we can do it. What about now? As we get older, we can lose confidence, we can get afraid. Or maybe we think those days are beyond us and behind us. When I was doing my training, I worked with a small chapel that had maybe 20 people over the age of 70 in it. And they were on a council estate. They looked out the doors and it was a sink estate, if you understand what I mean by that. It was a deprived estate. It was an estate with lots of social issues. And I watched these silver-haired older people begin a children's ministry. And they opened the door to these estate kids. They had no children in their church. And they opened the door and they said to these kids, do you want to come in and do some colouring? And they began a children's ministry at the age of 80 for these kids from the estate. The kids came in. The parents started going, oh, thank you so much. And they began to have conversations with the community. And they began to watch their church grow as they looked out. It breaks my heart for us to close the Sunday school. What does God want for Princess Street? Let's discover that together. Because actually, we believe good things are going to happen. And actually, for good things to happen, that requires us to say, God, what do you want for me? What are you calling me to? But actually, we can forget the excitement we had when we walked down the street from the tin hut into a building. When we left Moore Street and we came here. When we first came to faith and we discovered there was a God who thinks we're amazing enough to die for us. Is it time to rediscover that adventure of faith? You see, we're commissioned to identify with Jesus, and in identifying with Jesus, be his witnesses. To be disciples who make disciples. And baptism is a public declaration of what's already happened on the inside. It's nailing our colours to the mast, but not just once, but always. And this morning, I want to take many of us back to our baptism when we stood there and we said, Jesus, I'm all in. And ask us that question again. Lord, am I still all in? So who do you identify with? Do people know you're a believer? What do they experience when they meet you? Who are you living for today? When you surrendered your life to Jesus, does he still mean the same to you today as he did then? Is the cost of following Jesus too much for you? What if God called you again? See, I believe God has a new adventure ahead for us here at Princess Street. But it begins by discovering our identity afresh in him. Elim as a movement are, as we move into the autumn, our new general superintendent is leading us into a season of consecration. Consecration means to be set apart and made holy. It means to be made useful for the worship and service of God. And as we have a new general superintendent, he's saying to Elim, it's time to reconsecrate ourselves. It's time to come back to that place that says, I am willing to make myself surrendered, available, and holy before a holy God. I'm willing to be consecrated, set apart for the worship and service of God. And the whole of the Elim movement in the UK is being invited to come back to that place of consecration and starting from a place of saying, Lord, whatever has gone on, I need to stop and come back to a place of committing myself afresh to you. What happened to your walk with Jesus if you returned back to that moment of consecration when you got baptized? Might not have been physically, but spiritually. You return to that place, what would happen? As we prepare for the next season, will you reconsecrate yourself? Do you want to go deeper? Discover more of what Jesus has for you? What might God say to you if you told him you wanted to go deeper? Russ, can you just come up and start playing quietly behind us? And if you're able, can I just invite you to stand, if you're able to? Let's just be still before Holy Spirit and let's maybe just quietly play in the background. Holy Spirit, I just ask this morning that you would move among us. Lord, that call to be disciples who are baptized, totally surrendered to you. Lord, it's very easy for us to sing our songs. It's very easy for us to declare our gratitude for what you've done for us on the cross. But Lord, sometimes it's a lot harder for us to say, Lord, what do you say to me today? And Holy Spirit, I pray that as we just take this moment now, that Lord, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, what would you say to us? What would you say to those in this room this morning who say, Jesus, I want to reconsecrate myself. I want to come and submit myself afresh to you this morning. I want to be set apart for the worship and service of you. And Lord, as we pray that this morning, what would you say to us? Holy Spirit, just invite you to move amongst us. Kia namara.